Chapter 6. I raced over to the man, and my entire body felt numb as I bent down beside him. Then I placed my hands on his shoulders and carefully turned him around. The man let out a low groan, and relief washed over me. He was alive, but it didn't look like he would be for much longer. The guy must have been in his 50s and had gray, curly hair that matched his beard. His pale blue eyes were half open, and he let out a howl of pain as I helped him lean his back against the wall. I quickly realized where the blood was coming from. The guy's shirt was torn up, and I could see deep cuts in his waist where he'd been clawed. A blood-soaked cloth lay nearby, and he had clearly tried and failed to stop the bleeding. The girls and Leo shut the door of the hut, and we were plunged into darkness. Leo quickly pulled something out of his pocket and threw it into the air, and I was startled to see the cabin suddenly illuminated with orange light. A small floating orb spun around slowly in the middle of the room, and I made a mental note to ask about the insane torch device later. Right now, I needed to focus on the injured man. "Are you Arnie?" I asked, and the man responded with a pained groan.
"Shit,"
Kat hissed as she dove down beside me.
"He needs stitches. Maybe there's a first aid kit here?"
"I will get the medical supplies," Leo announced, and he hurried back out of the building. The door slammed behind him, and I looked around to see if there was anything immediately useful in the cabin. There was a small table with two chairs, a whiteboard with some scientific equations sprawled on it, and a few cupboards along the back wall. "Okay," I said as I tried to remain calm. "You're going to be fine. We're going to help you, okay? Just stay awake for me." The man spluttered, and more blood oozed out of his wounds. Saliva dribbled down his beard as he coughed, and it very much felt like I was holding someone who had already knocked on death's door.
"What do we do?"
Becca asked as she danced from side to side, and she clung onto her blonde head as she panicked. "Check the cabinets for more cloth," I said urgently. "We need to stop him from bleeding out." The girls rushed over to the cupboards at the other side of the room and began frantically searching. They threw out plastic bowls, thick science books, and endless amounts of pens. I was hoping there had been a first aid kit stored away in one of the cabinets, but it seemed that the scientists hadn't planned on anyone needing life-saving medical attention in the small cabin. I tried to hold the guy up as he kept nearly flopping over, and I pressed his shoulder back against the wall as firmly as I could. It looked like he only had a few minutes of consciousness left, and everything in the world depended on me saving him. Fuck.
"There's nothing here!"
Becca wailed as the girls emptied the final cupboard. I let go of the man for a second, and he managed to remain relatively upright. Then I quickly tore off my jacket, yanked my shirt over my head, and folded up the material. I pressed the fabric up against the man's claw wound with gentle pressure, and he mumbled something as blood soaked through my shirt. I looked down at the floor and the pool of red. "I'm Jason," I said, in an attempt to snap the guy back into consciousness. "Is your name Arnie?" There was no flicker of recognition or understanding on the guy's pale face, and his eyes rolled back in his head. The shirt in my hand was already completely red, and the blood oozed through onto my fingers. Then the doors swung open again, and Leo raced over to us with Adhara. The two aliens dove down to kneel beside us, and Leo swung open a silver box to reveal the weirdest-looking medical supplies I had ever seen. There were curved silver tools, and something that looked like a whistle. One of the corners was filled with different colored pills, and there was a packet of something the size of a deck of cards. Adhara grabbed a small blue pill from the box and pushed it into the man's mouth and down his throat. The man gagged, and his Adam's apple bobbed as the alien closed his mouth for him.
"This is energy,"
she said.
"He must swallow. It helps for losing so much blood."
Then Leo took out something that looked like a patch of lilac skin from the packet, and I wrinkled my nose as it flopped around in his hands. "What is that?" I asked as Leo smoothed it out.
"To heal,"
he replied simply, and he gestured for me to remove my hand and shirt from the wound. I let go, and Leo quickly pushed away the torn material of the man's own shirt. Then the alien smoothly pressed the lilac patch onto the top of the wound, and I heard Kat gasp as the blood didn't seep out around it. Adhara quickly applied a second patch to the lower half of the wound, and the lilac substance actually seemed to absorb into the guy's torso, Somehow, the wound was no longer bleeding, and it looked like the man suddenly had a purple area of fresh skin. It seamlessly joined with his own pale body, as if it had just melted into his waist, and my jaw went slack. "Holy shit," I muttered, as I studied the patches. "That's amazing."
"That looked like magic,"
Heiwan said in awe.
"Is he going to be okay?"
The man suddenly opened his eyes fully and spluttered as he coughed up bile. "Hey," I said, and clutched his shoulder to steady him. "It's okay, it's okay, we're here to help you." "What?" the man gasped. His voice was shaky, and he stared at Leo with wide eyes. His confusion was understandable. He had just woken up from a near-death experience to find two aliens in his hut and a pool of his own blood around him. The man backed up as far into the wall as he could, and his breathing quickened as he gawked at the aliens. Adhara seemed to understand the cue, and she gently pulled at Leo to give the guy some space. Then the two aliens shuffled back a little, and the man let out a deep breath as he straightened up. "I'm Jason," I repeated. "Sorry that we startled you. Are you a scientist here?"
I am,"
the guy stuttered, and he managed to peel his eyes away from the aliens to look at me. "Arnie?" I asked hopefully, and I couldn't help sigh with relief when he nodded.
What is this?"
the man demanded as he ran a hand over the newly healed skin on his waist.
"Who are you people?"
"That's kind of a long story,"
Becca muttered.
"But, hi. Nice to meet you. We're just a ragtag group of hotties trying to save the world."
"And we need the Hadron Collider to do that,"
Heiwan added.
"So if you could turn it on, that would be great,"
Kat concluded. Arnie looked at each of the girls in turn, and then shook his head slowly.
"Those are aliens,"
he stammered as he stared at the lilac beings again.
"Those are... What the hell is going on? Is this to do with the dinosaurs? Is this..."
"It is," I sighed as I stood up. "Adhara and Leo here are aliens. The rest of us are just regular old humans."
"Hardly regular,"
Becca snorted.
"We've killed, like, a million dinos. And look at Jason's abs. There's nothing normal about that. He's practically a dino-slaying god."
I suddenly remembered that I had given Arnie my shirt, and I awkwardly slipped my jacket back onto my naked torso. It looked like I would have to rock the bare skin look until we got back on the ship and I could grab one of the spare shirts I packed. But I kind of felt like those assholes in biker movies who just strolled through deserts with only a leather jacket and pants on. It was a decent vibe. The scientist slowly got to his feet, and he looked down at his blood-stained clothes as he ran a hand over the new patch of lilac skin. It looked like it had always been part of him, and there were no harsh lines where it was attached. It was as if he just had a lilac square tattooed on his waist, and not another drop of blood seeped out.
"Extraordinary," he muttered as he looked at the patch. "This is alien medical care?"
"Yes, you can be grateful,"
Adhara nodded, and Leo packed up his silver box.
"This will be your body now. I hope you do not feel too much badly about the color."
The gorgeous alien wiggled her fingers as she looked at the patch. And to my shock, Arnie's face suddenly broke into a huge grin.
"Aliens!"
the man yelled, and he threw his hands up in the air.
"I get to meet freaking aliens before I die! Oh, I can't believe this! This is a dream come true! You're aliens, real ones!"
I don't think Adhara had ever had that reaction from a human before, and I watched her fingers go perfectly still as her mouth twitched.
"You do not hate us and want to scream?"
she asked quietly.
"Hate you? My dear, I'm a scientist. I've spent my whole life wanting to know everything there is to know about the universe. Now I get to not only confirm that aliens exist, but meet them? This... fuck! Am I dead?"
"Nope."
Becca smirked like a smug mother.
"Our beautiful little alien friend is the real deal, and she's an absolutely gorgeous creature to boot. You're welcome for changing your life."
The scientist scoffed through another laugh and hurriedly stuck out his hand, and Adhara looked excited that she knew what to do. She shook his hand enthusiastically and looked over to me with a huge grin. I gave her a thumbs up that made the beautiful alien do an adorable little wiggle with her hips. Then Arnie stuck out his hand toward Leo, but the male alien just stared at it.
"What do you want?" the scout scowled. "I heal you. This is plenty."
Arnie erupted into laughter, and the rest of us chuckled along as well.
"What is this contraption?" the scientist asked,
and he walked toward the floating orb that I had forgotten was even there.
"That is pretty cool," I agreed. "Just a portable lamp?"
"Light ball," Leo shrugged. "When it is dark and you need to not be dark, why do humans not think of such things?"
"I mean, we have,"
Becca clarified.
"Just not so fucking cool as your design, that's all."
"Phenomenal," Arnie said,
and he walked around the ball slowly as he stared at it. I had to admit, it did look awesome. The ball just hovered at head height, and the gentle glow it gave the cabin illuminated every corner. Between the light and the skin patch, I was feeling pretty blown away by the alien advancements today. But I did feel a slightly smug sense of pride over my beautiful lilac girlfriend. Arnie muttered to himself as he examined the light, and he happily gave Adhara a pat on the shoulder when he passed her. His excitement seemed to lift the atmosphere of the whole group, and for a second it was nice to just watch a guy being hyped up over the existence of aliens. Then something nearby roared, and the urgency of the situation came flooding back to me.
"So,"
Becca announced,
"super love how excited you are for aliens. We love them too, but we kind of need your help."
"Ah," Arnie said. "Yes. What exactly is the reason you came here and saved me? Which I thank you for very much, by the way."
"Good," Leo nodded.
"We need the Hadron Collider turned on," I said, and the scientist raised a bushy eyebrow.
"Whatever for?" he asked. "It hardly seems like a pressing matter just now, all things considered."
"We need it for the black holes,"
Heiwan said.
"Adhara can use them to transport onto her people's mothership."
Arnie stared at the Korean beauty for a moment, and his forehead wrinkled as he rubbed his beard.
"You can use black holes for travel?" he asked slowly. "But our own scientists have essentially disproved this theory based on the fact that any object being sucked toward the event horizon would be stretched beyond..."
"Your scientists know nothing," Leo said flatly. "Do not try to think beyond primitive brain. I do not like it. Waste time."
Adhara nodded.
"Incredible," the scientist muttered with a glazed look in his eyes.
"May I ask, how..."
"No," Leo refused.
"I see,"
Arnie nodded reverently.
"Well, why do you need to transport to this mothership so urgently?"
"To stop the attack," I answered. "Long story short, an alien fleet is going to come down and destroy humanity if we don't get on board that ship. The dinosaurs were sent to wipe as many of us out as possible, and it won't be long until thousands of spaceships come and finish the job." Arnie nodded as if I was explaining something as simple as a rise in gas prices, and he rubbed a hand over the lilac patch of skin before he spoke.
"Very well," he agreed. "I will need to go to the power source nearby, but I'm afraid the area around the electrical box is rather littered with dead bodies."
"Not a problem,"
Kat said.
"We can evaporate them with these."
She gestured to her sharp gun, and Arnie nodded with a smile.
"Alien weaponry?" he guessed.
"Very superior,"
Leo assured him in the same unimpressed tone.
"To be sure," the scientist chortled. "How fascinating."
"Probably best to just leave bodies where they are, though," I pointed out. "The dead bodies might help to mask our smell."
"I have many questions,"
Arnie admitted with the enthusiasm of a child, and I couldn't help grinning at the man. His mind was probably blown sideways over all of this.
Perhaps we could sit down and talk when time is a little less urgent? If that is acceptable, of course."
He looked at Adhara when he spoke, and the alien blushed with pride as she smiled a little.
"Yes, is acceptable to share knowledge,"
Adhara nodded.
"I tell you all things you want to know after we save world."
"You have yourself a deal,"
Arnie said.
"Now, how exactly will we get there without being eaten?"
"We have shitloads of guns," I assured him. "Alien weapons really are awesome, as you can probably imagine. We've done more than our fair share of dino slaying, too, so we'll keep you safe."
How far away is the power source?
Not too far, Arnie answered. It will only take a few minutes if we are quick.
So, walking distance? I asked, and the scientist nodded.
But the power source is not particularly covered, Arnie said. I'm not sure how easy it will be. As you saw, I barely stepped out of this door before I was nearly slashed in half.
What was it that wounded you?
Kat furrowed her brow.
Some form of raptor, Arnie replied. It ran off right after it raked me with its claws, like it only had one job and didn't care to stick around after.
They just want us all dead, I nodded. Even if they don't feel hungry, they will kill any humans they lay their eyes on.
We make them very effective, Leo added. Good killers now.
Fascinating,
the scientist muttered with another glazed look at the stoic alien. I made my way over to the door and carefully opened it just enough to have a view of the ships. It looked clear outside, and the sounds of roars and footsteps were far enough away. I studied the sky and couldn't see any leathery wings or sharp beaks, and I figured it was as safe as it was ever going to be out here. I think we're good to go, I told everyone. Arnie, stay in the middle of the group.
Certainly,
the scientist quickly agreed.
Thank you again. This is very honorable of you to go through all this trouble.
Quiet is better, Leo told him. Omati will hear.
Alien dinos,
Heiwan clarified for the scientist. He muttered one more quiet, fascinating to himself before I opened the door further, and I stepped out into the daylight with my sharp gun ready for action. The rest of the group followed behind me, and I glanced back at Arnie, who gestured to go around the back of the hut. As we left behind the cover of the ships and truck, I felt incredibly exposed. The stretch of land we were on was very flat, and there were only a few clumps of trees and bushes that could be used to hide behind. I looked to the right and could see multiple dinos in the distance, and my stomach lurched at how easy it would be for them to spot us.
"It's over there," Arnie hissed,
and he pointed to a square fence made of tall metal sheets. There were yellow signs on the entrance gate warning that the barbed wire on top was electric, and it looked like some dinos had found that out the hard way. Several bodies slumped over the gate, and as we got closer, it smelled like they had been dead for a while. A stegosaurus had ultimately been the one to break the barricade, though, and it looked like the massive beast had crashed into the structure. Half the gate was crushed under the weight of the dino, and the top of its massive body had come in contact with a tangle of the electric wires, so the dino had clearly been fried on impact with the defensive mechanism.
What were they trying to get to?
Becca whispered as we approached the corpses. The crushed gateway exposed the inside of the closed area, but there didn't seem to be anything inside other than a locked electrical box. Clearly, the dinosaurs had been determined to get to it. Maybe they knew, I said. They figured out that this had something to do with the Hadron Collider and they wanted to destroy it. It sounded insane, but I had a strong suspicion that the dinosaurs could have worked it out. They'd already shown us how much their intelligence had evolved, and it would make sense for them to be programmed to destroy what they thought was our biggest weapon. When we reached the dead dinosaurs, I could see that there were two raptor-like dinos near the Stegosaurus, and something with a large dome on its head, like a helmet. The raptors were about 5 feet tall and had a reddish tint to their skin. Both of the dinosaurs had clearly been in the wrong place when the Stegosaurus brought down the gate. The electric wire from the top of the structure had been pulled down, and it looked like it hit the raptors on the deck. Their skin was burned, and they had already begun to rot in the sun. I tried not to look too closely at the colony of bugs which had started to eat away at the decaying flesh.
Buitriraptors, Arnie said as he looked down at the bodies. And I believe this is a pachycephalosaurus.
What?
Becca scoffed. Arnie pointed to the dino with the helmet-like head. It was about 15 feet long and clearly walked on its thick hind legs when it was alive. The skin on its head was bumpy, and up close, it almost looked like it was made of gray stone. Do you have the key for the electrical box? I asked, and Arnie nodded.
Thankfully, he said as he pulled a long silver key from his back pocket. But this could take a while. There is quite a process to restart the system. I'm the only one left who knows the sequence.
Take all the time you need, I said.
But also be as fast as possible,
Becca added.
I do not want to have to smell these dead fuckers for any longer than I need to.
I will do my best, Arnie nodded, and he unlocked the box to reveal a whole world of wires and switches. Then the scientist got to work, and I looked around to suss out exactly how much danger we were in. The dino corpses gave us some cover, and Arnie was basically hidden from view behind the Stegosaurus. We spread out around the silver fence, and I could see a herd of mixed dinos in the distance. There were a couple of trees between them and us, but if one of them caught a whiff of our scent, then there really was nowhere to hide.
I don't like this,
Kat said.
We're so exposed. Yeah,
Becca agreed.
That herd isn't that far away. It would only take them a few moments to get over here.
I watched the distant dinosaurs carefully, and I counted six of them in total. It was too far away to tell exactly what they all were, and I didn't want to find out. Arnie muttered to himself as he flicked switches in the electrical box, and I felt a gust of wind blow through my hair. Shit, I said. We're upwind of the herd. They might catch our scent.
Maybe we hide behind bodies?
Edhara asked, as she watched the herd warily. That won't make a difference if they smell us, I said. We just need to be ready. I swapped my sharp gun over for my blaster and rested the cylindrical weapon on my shoulder.
I think I see something over there,
Haywan said, and I turned to see her pointing out in the opposite direction than the herd. There was a little line of trees a few yards ahead that made it difficult to see past, but it did look like there was something big moving in the distance beyond them. Then I heard the sound of wings flapping above us, and I knew we were about to be in big fucking trouble. I looked up at the clear sky to see something that looked like an evil puffin gone horribly wrong. The dinosaur was about 5 feet long with a decent-sized tail and sharp talons on thick back legs, and its wingspan looked to be around 7 feet. Its face was much rounder than any of the flying dinosaurs we had met before, and its curved beak was a bright yellow color with red stripes. I aimed my blaster at the approaching dino as it let out an ear-piercing screech, and I knew that all chances of going unnoticed had been blown to hell. So it was time to have some fun and blast these fuckers to shreds. I pulled the lever back on the blaster and released it as something else behind me let out a howl. The purple ball of alien plasma hurtled through the sky and right into the body of the flying creature. The dinosaur exploded into a cloud of red slop, and bits of wing and tail spun in the wind like a grotesque kite.
Jason!
Haywan yelled. And I spun around to see dinosaurs coming from every direction over the green landscape. The mixed herd was charging toward us at full speed, and the shape behind the trees on the other side of the fence had revealed itself to be a massive Ankylosaurus. It lumbered toward us with alarming speed, and I knew it would only take a few minutes until it could crush the electrical box and all chances of us saving the world.
"Don't let them get inside the gates!" I shouted. "Everyone spread out so every angle is covered! There's more of them on this side!"
"Oh, my God!"
Arnie gasped behind me.
"They're coming for us!"
"Keep working," I ordered the scientist. "We'll protect you, all right?"
"Okay,"
Arnie said in a small voice, and I readied myself to use the blaster again. Kat, Edhara, and Haywan positioned themselves beside me to take on the herd, and Becca and Leo set up to get the Ankylosaurus.
"Let's blast them all to hell," I shouted.
"Bring it on,"
Kat growled through a lopsided grin. As the herd got closer, I could hear the rumble of their feet and their deep roars as if they were talking back and forth to each other. It looked like there were two raptors, three cosmoceratops, and something similar to a T-Rex.
"That's a Lythronax,"
Arnie shouted behind us.
"Be careful."
"That's the plan," I said, as I aimed my blaster at the massive dinosaur.
It towered above its other herd members on dark brown and hugely thick hind legs, and it looked over 20 feet tall. There was blood all over its mouth, and when it opened its jaw to give an earth-shattering roar, I could see dagger-like teeth stained red inside its maw. The Lythronax was much faster and louder than the smaller dinos, and it soon overtook them as it hurtled toward us with a predatory glint in its beady eyes.
"I'll take the big one," I told the group. "You guys hit the others."
The girls nodded, and I kept my blaster aimed steadily toward the Lythronax as it let out another roar. I stood with one foot slightly in front of the other
and waited until the dinosaur was in perfect range for blasting. And when I could see the glint of orange in the beast's eyes, I knew it was time to shoot. Then I pulled back the lever and let the alien weapon do its thing. The purple ball of gases flew out of the blaster and met its target right in the belly of the massive dinosaur, and the explosion was messy. It only took a second for the dinosaur to glow a vibrant shade of purple, and then it turned into a volcano of gore. The other herd members got splattered in blood and guts, and one of the raptors stumbled on the slippery blood. A second later, the girls fired their blasters at the rest of the herd, and three plasma balls flew into the group at once. The dinosaurs didn't stand a fucking chance. The herd glowed purple for a second before their bodies erupted inside out, and the explosion was incredible to watch. I had never seen anything fly as high in the air as those dead bits of dinosaur, and the wash of vibrant purple and red splattering across the sky was better than any fireworks display I'd seen to date. "Nice," I smirked, as the bloody mess rained down onto the green land. But then I spun around just as Becca and Leo fired their blasters at the Ankylosaurus. Both of the purple balls reached the dino at the same time, and it exploded like a gruesome piñata that gave off a deep, squelchy splat when it burst.
"Fuck yeah!"
Becca cheered as she spun around to face me.
"Dino slaying still at peak fucking performance! Pregnant women really can do it all." "That's all of them,"
Kat agreed. "Not for long," I said as I checked the sky. "There's no way all that went unheard, not in a landscape this open."
"The reset is complete,"
Arnie announced as he closed the electrical box.
"But it will take a good few hours to process."
"Really?" I asked as I ran a hand through my hair.
"Shit, I thought the Hadron Collider would just sort of come to life immediately."
"We need to wait, I'm afraid,"
the scientist nodded.
"Okay," I said.
"Then let's get out of here before anything else comes to see what all the noise was about." I scanned the landscape and spotted something far off in the distance that seemed to be heading right for us. It was too far to see what it was, but it was definitely on its hind legs.
"Go," I urged. "There's something big coming. Run back to the ships."
I gave the distant dino a final glance before I broke into a run, and we made sure to keep Arnie in the middle of the group. Some of the blood from the explosions had landed in our pathway and made it incredibly slippery to run over, and I stumbled slightly as we went. Then I grabbed Kat's arm so she didn't tumble over. Whatever was behind us roared, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up as I realized how close it sounded already. I glanced over my shoulder and could see the dinosaur much more clearly, which meant it was running a hell of a lot faster than we were. It was about 25 feet tall, dark green, and looked like it could eat our entire group in one bite with its massive jaws. I was about to slow down and kill the fucker with the blaster, but then I realized that the huge dino had brought backup. Behind it, an entire army of prehistoric assholes were on the move.
"Holy shit!"
Becca yelled as she looked back.
"That big bastard brought backup!"
"Faster!"
I shouted as we sprinted toward the ships.
"Don't look back, just keep running!"
I felt like we were moving in slow motion as we got closer to the safety of the spacecrafts, and I could hear the massive dinosaur's footsteps get louder and louder. My entire body was sweating now, but goosebumps ran down my arm as the dino roared again. And when we finally reached the spaceships, Leo raced over to his own without risking a look behind him. I herded Arnie and the girls into Adhara's craft and jumped inside last. The footsteps of the huge dino were so loud that I knew it must be a few measly yards away from us now, but Adhara had bolted through to the control room in a split second, and she hit the force field button the moment my feet hit the ship floor. She started the craft as I raced down the sleek corridor and into the control room, and we launched upward with much less slickness than normal. Haywan stumbled as the ship lurched upwards, and as I grabbed her waist to steady her, I saw Leo's ship taking off right beside us. My heartbeat was going 100 miles an hour, and I wiped sweat from my forehead as I headed over to the window. The scene below us sent a shiver down my spine. The huge dinosaur had stopped running and just stared up at the craft, and all the other dinosaurs had slowed down to a walk as they caught up. They also had their heads tilted toward the sky as we hovered above them, and I shifted my weight uneasily. They can't see us, right? I asked. The reflective technology stuff you told me about on the bottom of the ship means they can't see us.
Yes,
Adhara said, as her emerald eyes stared down at the herd.
But they know we are here.
Is everyone okay? I asked, and the girls all nodded. Arnie, you doing all right? The scientist nodded as he took deep, wheezing breaths, and I figured that run was probably much more intense for a slightly out-of-shape older guy. He mostly seemed distracted by the sleek interior of the ship, though, and his bulging eyes looked all around him as sweat poured down his temples. Adhara started to turn the craft, and I took one final glance down at the sea of dinosaurs. They roared as the ship flew swiftly away, and I furrowed my brow as I wondered if they really had been able to see us.
Fuck that!
Becca shuddered.
I never want to see that many dinosaurs coming after my arse again.
Good thing Jason noticed them when he did,
Kat said.
There aren't enough guns in the world to take down a group that size.
Adhara hit a button to raise the spare seats from the floor, and I gratefully sat down as I felt my heart rate normalize again.
Those weapons are incredible, Arnie said as he gestured to the blasters. I'm very glad to have you here.
Yes, my people are helpful,
Adhara assured him.
When they're not trying to wipe out our entire species,
Heiwan added.
We are effective in all things,
Adhara shrugged.
The Omati attack, too.
I smirked as we headed off at a faster speed, and the trip back to the science base was quiet. I couldn't stop thinking about the huge dino and the way it stared up at us, or how quickly it had summoned so many more dinosaurs. But I tried to stay focused on the mission rather than the crazy fucking dinos we now had prowling the Earth. The sun had started to set by now, and my entire body ached. I'd wanted us to be well on our way to the mothership by now, but we couldn't do anything except wait. Arnie had said the restart would take a few hours. But what if we didn't have a few hours?
Jason?
Heiwan said, and I suddenly realized that we had landed. The Korean beauty studied my face with her blue eyes, and she gently stroked my arm as I stood up.
Sorry, I said as I kissed the top of her head. I was a million miles away there. I just don't like waiting around.
I know.
Heiwan nodded.
But we cannot do anything else just now. Maybe we should get some rest while we have the chance. Why don't we sleep in here?
Kat asked as she gestured to the bedroom.
Mateo and Hilda didn't exactly look like they had luxurious sleeping arrangements.
Leo will be doing the same.
Adhara nodded.
He does not like to wait, either. He will be grumpy, and by himself to feel better.
Sure, I said. I'll just make sure Arnie gets inside the base safely.
Thank you, young man, the scientist smiled. Well, good night, ladies. It was a pleasure to meet you. Miss Alien, an absolute honor to make your acquaintance.
I am honored, too,
Adhara said as she returned the man's smile. Then I led Arnie out of the craft and into the parking lot, and I kept my sharp gun close as I did a quick sweep. The sky was a deep navy blue as we hurried over to the dome entrance, and there was a chill in the air as clouds rolled past the setting sun.
It's good to be back, Arnie said, as we hurried into the round building. I feel foolish for having left at all.
I suddenly remembered that Mateo had told us why Arnie had gone outside. He was trying to get to his friend that was at the hut. Did you find who you were looking for? I asked.
No, Arnie said. But I didn't find a body either, so maybe he's still out there.
I hope so, I said sincerely. People are capable of amazing things.
So I've seen, Arnie smiled. Well, I will say good night to you. I'm sure Mateo is waiting for my arrival.
Good night, I replied. We'll check in a few hours. The older man nodded and gave me a quick pat on the shoulder before he turned and hurried off up the wooden ramp. I rubbed my eyes and made my way back outside to the ship. There was a far-off roar, and I shivered as I thought about the herd we had narrowly escaped. Then I jumped through the entrance of the ship and headed into the control room to find Becca sitting in the pilot seat with Heiwan beside her. The door to the bedroom was open, and Kat and Adhara had already climbed into bed.
Look!
Becca said.
Adhara taught me which button it is to do the force field.
The blonde made a dramatic show of pressing one of the buttons on the control panel, and the force field buzzed to life. Very nice, I smiled.
Captain Becca.
Those two are sleepy,
Haywan said as she gestured to the bedroom. Kat and Adhara looked adorable, all snuggled up in the alien bed. Their eyes were closed and they had pulled the bedsheets up to their chins.
So, we were thinking,
Becca said as she twirled a strand of hair,
that we didn't really get to celebrate our wedding night properly. Yes,
Haywan agreed.
We need to make the marriage official, and I did promise you we'd be honoring our new husband soon enough.
I do remember you saying something about that, I chuckled as I eyed her up and down. The Korean beauty came closer and snaked a hand down over my bare chest and toward my crotch, and I groaned a bit as her touch instantly brought my dick to attention.
Why don't you sit in the pilot's chair?
Becca suggested as she rose to her feet.
And you can let your new little wives take good care of you.
That sounds good to me, I grinned, and let Haywan lead me to the sleek metal seat. And then I sat down to watch the two beauties strip for me. It had been a long and stressful day, but as I watched my gorgeous girls wiggle out of their clothes, it was impossible to think about anything else. I was definitely going to enjoy married life.